this year I paraded on Armistice Day in Ypres, or Wipers, as the soldiers of 1914-18 called it. Freezing rain at the Menin Gate, I shivered in my rather too thin overcoat and bowler hat, deeply moved as always by this special place and the aura that surrounds it. This year I was there at the invitation of the English Federation of Sikhs. A regiment of them died to a man at the Battle of Neuve Chapelle. They were shivering too in their magnificent turbans. We clustered around afterwards for a chat, the turbaned ones with Brummy, London and Yorkshire accents. It was very humbling to be reminded of who your real friends are. Of course they could have been Aussies, Kiwis or Canadians, and there were plenty of them there too. They queue up now as aliens at Heathrow. The Germans, of course, walk through automatically. They're all one of us. Well, a good thing too, I'm not anti-German. But do we really have to make things so difficult for our friends when we make things so easy for our neighbours? Indeed, would we have to mourn so many of our dead at all if we hadn't poked our nose into European politics, which has nothing to do with us, or should have nothing to do with us? I saw the Remembrance Sunday parade on the telly. I used to parade with my old regiment, but I prefer the parades on offer on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month now. One of the reasons is that the day's special to servicemen and the merchant marine and their widows, who gave so much for us in the past. The World and His Wife parade now at the Cenotaph. It would be difficult to have a less distinguished military career than mine, admittedly, but I did at least serve. The parade at the Cenotaph seems to consist of remarkably unbemedaled Chancellor politicians, along with no doubt worthy organisations like the Tailor and Cutters Guild for making uniforms, the Bootmakers and Boyle's Suite Freemasonry, and the Royal Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. They're still walking past the Cenotaph when the old and bold are on their third pint at the United Services Club. It would be fun if it weren't so tragic watching the usual motley collection of failed lawyers trying to put together a fiscal package to save the country. The most recent is particularly hopeless. You know, insurance against UK government default now has risen tenfold in the last few weeks. Is it any wonder? They don't have a clue. Sadly, neither do the chinless wonders on the opposition benches. They do have brains on the opposition benches, but they just choose not to use them. They remind me of my great-auntie Betty. Not one of us, my great-auntie Betty used to say. Never live south of the river, north of the park, or hunt north of the Trent. I love these people, but are they right for modern government? Now, I used to do it for a living until a few years ago, so let me outline a few things that they need to do. If our children and grandchildren are not to despair and bugger off to the ex-colonies in a few years' time. We all know nothing restores so well after a night on the tiles as hair of the dog. Rosy cheeks, firm handshake, bluffy way through the day, and stay off it for a week. But years of alcoholism sadly cannot be cured by this method. The economy under Brown has had years of alcoholism. It's been kept a secret because so few people know the symptoms. Least of all, public service broadcasting. 15 billion is hair of the dog, but the rot will continue. There is no room to borrow or tax. Brown has been up to the limit for years. For him to talk of transparency is scandalous, for he presents his accounts with no public sector initiative shown or civil service pension fund responsibility, an omission which would send him to prison if he were a director of a public company. What we need to do is bite the bullet. We need to slash income tax permanently, disestablish public sector pension schemes, decommission all quangos, stop sending the ludicrous £16 billion a year annual payment to Brussels, freeze all administrative public sector recruitment, institute constitutional legislation to restrict future government spending to 30% of GDP, suspend and review all EU legislation which is crippling business, drastic welfare reform where work is now a lifestyle choice, and abandon the grossly expensive green gesture politics. Abolish employment tax, called national insurance, and we might actually start putting some credibility back into the United Kingdom economy. As Churchill might have said, or would have said, in 1940, action this day. I was a guest the other day of Durham University for a union debate. The motion, "This House believes the future is conservative." I was, of course, opposing the motion, but it was going to be a futile gesture when most of the undergraduates are paid up members of the Conservative Party. I debate at many universities, but the people up at Durham must be the most charming and hospitable. It is the only university my wife will accompany me to. With the exception of the charming and erudite Jacob Rees-Mogg, the opposition speakers were so bad, so dire, that we won. And against the combined might of Tory Central Office. Well, let's hope we can do it in June.